listening to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, episode 402. Hey there, you amazing human, and welcome to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, the podcast that is designed for female entrepreneurs who want to make more money in a way that is in alignment for them. If you're looking for practical advice, proven strategies, and expert insights to help you navigate the challenges of growing your business, then you've come to the right place. Welcome, my friend. I am your host, Angela Henderson, a proud Canadian living in beautiful Australia, and I'm a business coach, consultant, and strategist who has helped thousands of women around the world build successful businesses. Through solo episodes and interviews with successful business owners, industry experts, and thought leaders, you'll get insider insights into what it takes to succeed in today's digital age. Whether you're struggling to scale your business, looking for ways to boost your productivity, or seeking ways to overcome the challenges of being an entrepreneur, this show has everything you need to succeed and more. So subscribe, pop your headphones on, and get ready to creating the business and life you deserve today by allowing the Angela Henderson Online Business Show help you create a winning strategy, develop the right mindset, and build lasting wealth. Hey there, you amazing human, and welcome back to another podcast episode. Today, I'm thrilled to have my own lawyer coming on the podcast to share some amazing knowledge that I believe most business owners are not paying attention to. And that, my friend, is your legals. If I ask you right now, do you have your legals in place to ensure both your business is safe and your family assets are safe? Can you put your hand on your heart and say, yes, Ange, I am covered? Most of you listening today probably cannot. And that breaks my heart, because you have this thriving business, this growing business, this scaling business, whatever it looks like for you, and it's being compromised because you don't have your legals in place. And so today I'm bringing on my personal lawyer, who's going to talk about the top three mistakes that she sees business owners make when it comes to legals and business. She's also going to share the variety of different types of legals that can be done to ensure that your business and assets are protected. We're also going to talk about AI and how this is potentially also compromising your business from a place of legals. And she's also going to talk to you a little bit about the different types of legals that people need depending on their business. So we are going to talk about all things legals. And if you don't think that this is a sexy conversation and that you should stay tuned, my friend, you are sadly mistaken. If there is any podcast episode that you should listen to, it should be this one, in order to make sure that one of the primary foundations for growing and scaling your business is taken care of, and that is your legal. So get your pens and paper ready and get ready for this beautiful conversation between Jeanette and I. Welcome to the show, Jeanette. So good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you too.
Oh my goodness. I feel like, how lucky am I that I get to hang out with you two times? I know I only just saw you at the Gold Coast for my 3-day Women in Business conference, where you were speaking there and chatting all things legal. And I was like, hell yes. I also need to get you on the podcast, because there will be many people from around the world who also did not attend the conference, but need to hear your wisdom about legals and how they can start getting everything prepared for 2025. So I'm super excited to have you here today.
Thank you. It was fabulous being at the conference, by the way. Thank you goodness. Very much.
First of all, your energy is fantastic, as it always is. But the conference really left me, like, it was a very humbling experience. And even just reading the testimonials and things, it was really quite overwhelming, positively overwhelming. And right. We're already planning for 2025. But yeah, no, you were awesome at our VIP day. Now, I always like to ask my guests a very fun question at the beginning so that the listener out there gets to know you a little bit. So my fun question is, I know that you were over in New Zealand for holidays and a conference. What was your all-time favorite highlight of New Zealand while you were over there?
Oh, wow. Probably zip lining in the snow.
How cool is that?
And unexpected. You know, it's supposed to be summer this time of the year, but it snowed while we were ziplining. And thankfully, they give you a beanie and they give you gloves and they give you long jackets, because otherwise it's freezing under the trees there. But that was such a buzz, because I've never ziplined in the snow before.
Oh my goodness, ziplining in itself. But how magical would that have been to be able to have the snow while you're doing it? That is fantastic.
Yeah, it was great.
Oh my goodness. And would you go back to New Zealand?
Absolutely. Yep.
Absolutely. I've only ever been there as a layover, right? And it has been on my, they keep saying, Ange, like I've been to over 50 countries. And they're like, you've never actually traveled New Zealand. I'm like, no. So it's actually on my list potentially for next year. So we'll see. But yes, I've always heard fairly good things about New Zealand.
It's got so many activities, and Queenstown, it's not cheap, but Queenstown is one of the most beautiful places you can go to, and there is so much to do, and it's great with kids.
That's fantastic
So,
because, yes, with my 15-year-old and 11-year-old, we're always
yeah.
looking at things. And I hear there's just like from whitewater rafting to so many things and the zip lining,
Oh, there
so
is.
cool.
Yep.
Now, my listeners out here might not know who you are or what you get up to. So, in a simple nutshell, can you tell us a little bit about what your business and what you get up to on any given day?
Absolutely. So, the business, we're a corporate and commercial law firm. We've got a team of six people, and our aim is really to give business owners the confidence to grow. So, helping them move forward in whatever project they're working on right now. My typical day, I move between working from home and working in the office. So, I live out in the country on property, and it's about an hour and a half into the office, but I mix my time between the two. And our days vary with the creativity and the variety of businesses that we work with. Some of the businesses we work with are doing stuff online, others are bricks and mortar businesses in bigger businesses like manufacturing and that kind of thing. So it really depends what they're doing. Generally speaking, I would say I'm dealing with an employment issue every day,
Yes.
just because people are employed. It's fun because we
Mm-hmm.
get to really learn about our clients and what they're wanting to achieve, and really help them to support achieving that. And we're looking for the practical solutions. So I've worked in-house previously. I know what it's like to be in a business. There are different priorities to what is strictly legal. So we try and say the strictly legal sense is this, but the practical way forward is this, and the time and cost-effective way forward is this. And here's your options. What would you like to achieve?
What I
So
like about, I personally, you've been my lawyer now for many, many years. And what I like is it's simple and practical. And that's what I need when I'm trying to run a business. I don't need to know the ins and outs of the legals because that's what I have your brain for, but I need to know
exactly.
enough about how it would either help me or potentially put like complications on my business. And that's what I've always liked with working with you or your team is that they really just use a simple language. This is why, this is how. I'm like, okay, great, I got it. Whereas I
Yeah.
feel sometimes some of the barriers of people getting their legals done is they don't know where to start. They don't know what to do. Or I've even heard someone say, well, Ange, I just feel so dumb. Like I'm really good at my business, but I feel so dumb about the legal. So I just avoid it collectively. And so that's what I've always liked about yours. Now, my question to you though is I've worked with thousands of women around the world. So I'm talking about my Aussies in particular here, do you mean? Because obviously you're an Australian lawyer, which is different to different countries that I've worked with. But legals are so damn important in business. But yet more often than not, I see business owners without any legals. And I'm just like, what the hell is going on? Like, I'm like, how are you guys? You're bringing in even your first $500 sale. I'm like, you do know that this is placing a risk on your business, but
Yeah.
also depending on your business structure, it could be placing a risk on your family's assets also. So my question to you is, why do you feel business owners fail to even like start to get their legals in place? What have you seen over the years, and how can we start to get people to look at it differently?
I think it is that whole point of being overwhelming and being afraid to talk to lawyers, because there are unfortunately a lot of people in our profession who are not approachable and easy to talk to. So one of the things that we've made available, because we identified that as a challenge, just the whole overwhelm, we make available a short advice session for our clients to be able to sit down and talk to them and really work out what the priorities are. And fundamentally, it comes down to protect your income. So, what we look at is where are the risks in protecting your income? What is your risk appetite? So, everybody's different. There are people who will fly by the seat of their pants, and they're the ones who ask for forgiveness rather than permission and all of that sort of thing. And then there's the complete opposite. So, there are people who do not want to move before they've crossed their T's and dotted their I's. So, we work with a whole range of people, and what it comes down to is what's most important to you and what needs to be protected first, and work with someone who can help you to understand what you're doing.
Education is so important. Once you have
Absolutely.
knowledge, you get to make better informed decisions. And I just don't know that for all the blood, sweat, and tears that every business owner has ever had to go through to get to where they're at for their business, I just don't understand why they would want to risk that from a legal perspective. Now, my next question that I want to ask, though, is like, I understand that you've obviously identified, you got wholesalers, manufacturers, online business owners that you're working with, many different types. But have there been, over your years of working with different businesses, any mistakes that you see business owners make when it comes to getting their legals and their business up and going?
Absolutely. One of the things that we commonly see is people are trying to save money. So what they do is they go and download a template, or they copy somebody else's stuff, or they try and do something which they believe is going to be cost effective. And occasionally that works. But if you don't know what you're doing, you don't know what you don't know. So we've seen people come to us and say, we've got this contract, we did a template, here it is. But they haven't, because they've used a template, they haven't chosen the right template, or they've inadvertently put themselves in a hole because they've chosen something that's not going to work for them or doesn't cover what they need to cover, or they've copied something off someone else and said, okay, it's all right for them, it must be all right for me, but the other person has a different type of business and it doesn't translate, or things like that. And then leaving things, sort of the set and forget mentality, where you go, okay, I've done that, I'm going to leave it and ignore it and hope it goes away, or hope it never becomes a problem. And their terms and conditions are so far out of date, they're actually putting their business at risk. So that out of date mentality is something we see particularly in bricks and mortar. So some of our manufacturing and wholesale businesses, it's like, guys, you really need to pick this up every couple of years, have a look at it, review, and make sure that it is still reflecting what you do in your business, firstly, and compliant with the law, because the law is changing all of the time.
100%. And that was like, I know with the Women in Business Conference, I've done retreats and things before, but I was like, listen, these type of ticket sales with these amount of speakers, it's like things are different. And I said to my team, I said, I think I need to reach back out to Jeanette just to make sure that what we've had still is equivalent. And you're like, actually, no, we need to tighten this. Right. So I was like, again, just asking, I would much rather email and be like, hey, are we good? Versus, oh God, I'm now in hot water type scenario. So I always kind of say, I always lean more of when in doubt, ask, because it doesn't hurt to ask, right? It's just one of the things that, but if you do, like what Jeanette is saying, one of the things that I recommend is we will have it in our agenda, but also at our like quarterly and annual reviews with the team, for example, we will have things in place where we're like, are there any legals that need to be updated? Is there anything else that we need to be exploring, et cetera, you know? So again, it's just, if you can make that part of your ongoing system, and then you're always reviewing, reflecting, you should never hopefully be getting out of date per se.
Yep, absolutely.
Yep. Now, as you said before, we've been alluding to a different types of different businesses that you're working with, but can you explain for the audience out there, like what are the different types of legal documentations, terms and conditions, things like that, that they can be getting done for their business that they might not even know about, but are really important? Can you share maybe, I don't know, 5 to 10 different types of legals?
Yep, absolutely. So probably the first thing we do when we work with businesses is look at what are all the relationships. And that's the key. It's everything you're interacting with creates a relationship which impacts your business. And if you've documented that, then you have certainty around what's going on in that relationship. So fundamentally, if you start with your business structure, if you've got a company or a partnership or a joint venture or a trust, any of those things, you should have documents that support whatever that entity is. And those documents you should be able to find somewhere. For example, you set up a bank account. If you're operating your business through a trust, the bank wants to see the trust deed. So you need to know where these documents are, and you need to know just broadly what the purpose of those documents are so that you know what your business structure foundation is. So that's the first thing, is your business structures. The second thing is how you make money. So if you are selling services or selling products, what are the terms and conditions that fit around that? If it is, for example, people with memberships online, you should have terms and conditions around your memberships, which really set the framework for what people have access to, how that access starts, ends, how it works on an ongoing basis, all of those sorts of things. So the terms and conditions around whatever it is that makes you money is the second sort of thing I would say, really, really be clear on that. The third thing would be whoever you're working with. So if it is a partnership or a joint venture partner, making sure those terms of that relationship is documented, because although I spoke to someone yesterday and they go, oh, I trust them. We've got a really good relationship. We worked together for 5 years and now we've gone into business. And in the back of my mind, I'm just going, that's exactly when things go haywire.
Oh man, it's like, that's a recipe for disaster.
It is. And he's going, oh, I trust him, but if anything gets more substantial, I'll come and have a chat with you. And I'm just thinking, okay. But documenting those relationships while you're still friends is really important, because you only really need to rely on those documents when things go haywire. And that's what you can't predict, and when you don't know what's going to happen.
I also think it's just such a beautiful thing that when you do that, you're not only honoring your boundaries, but you're also honoring the potential partner's boundaries. Really? We know that 90% of relationship breakdown, whether or not that's with children, your team, et cetera, comes down to breakdown of communication. So if you can communicate that clearly up front, you're really setting not only both parties and the business up for success. Absolutely. And less likely to fall down. Yes.
And also part of that is your employees and your contractors, making sure that you have employment agreements in place and contractor agreements in place. So I've got a colleague at the moment who is in a pickle because trust, they went into a business relationship on the basis of a recommendation from somewhere else. They didn't get it fully documented. They just did a sort of like a NDA and confidentiality deed done in the first place. They've paid this person almost $100,000 to do work which hasn't been done. And now they're trying to work out who owns the IP. And I'm like, oh my God, why did you not fix this in the first place? Because the difference in IP ownership between employees and contractors is huge. Getting that sorted out upfront before you go and invest a whole lot of money in getting something developed is really important to make sure that you own what you're paying for.
100%. Oh, that gives me a little bit of anxiety for that person.
I'm stressed for them. Absolutely.
100%. And then what other things? I know, for example, and maybe you can talk more about this, like I pretty much, and I've always kind of been like this, is I was lucky enough for someone to talk to me about trademarking really earlier on. And they're like, if you get a program and people go in there and then they take it and then they want your name, like a trademark, I was like, well, what's a trademark? You know? So it's like, so for me, it's like, I try and get whatever I can that I'm allowed trademarked. I don't go crazy about it. It's just more around my programs and business names and things like that were applicable.
Yeah.
That's been really important for me. Ticket sales, speaker contracts are other things that I've also leveraged. Is there anything else that, again, portal, if you're online, for example, and you have a membership, even making sure that you've got, like, I know in ours, we've got a section in there about like portal, legal responsibility, confidentiality, for example. Am I missing anything else that you want to add there?
The privacy, people need to understand that privacy and confidentiality are two different areas of law. And the privacy obligations, there were 185 recommendations made by the Attorney General in February of 2023. Now, it is likely that a portion of those recommendations will be adopted in changes to privacy law in the next 2 years, in the term of maybe not the current government, but the next government. And one of those fundamental changes will be, I think, the exception for small business not having to comply with privacy law is likely to disappear. Mm. So it's understanding, what are your privacy law obligations? What does that mean for you? What does it look like practically in your business? And what policies and processes can you put in place just to make sure you're on top of that before it becomes an issue for your business? Because if you're trying to change systems and procedures after the compliance regime comes in, you're behind the eight ball already. And we do deal with complaints to the Privacy Commissioner on behalf of clients from time to time. Mm-hmm. You really want to make sure that you can go to the Privacy Commissioner and say, yes, here's what we do. Here's the way our systems work. Here's how we're compliant so that you're not facing any fines, because the Privacy Commissioner, as a result of those recommendations, the current government did increase the ability for the Privacy Commissioner to issue penalties, and they are quite substantial now. So
Yep.
hundreds of thousands of dollars.
And again, these are all things that all of us, regardless of how big our business is, we need to be able to think about and
Yeah.
understand how it will impact us specifically. Now, speaking of changes, do you know what I mean, with laws and things like that, there's also a big change that has come out over the last 18 to 24 months, and that is AI.
Oh,
And
yeah.
I'm seeing a lot of people going, oh, I can just use AI to create my legal contracts now, and I'm good. And I'm just like, again, I have a little bit of a heart attack going like, how can you do that? Do you know what I mean? And still lay your head on your pillow and actually sleep well. So what are your thoughts about AI at the moment and how this is potentially putting businesses at risk?
So I'll give you a really great example. A colleague of mine is in-house in an insurance company, and it took her 6 months to train an AI to accurately review a short form document at the minimum level from a legal perspective.
Oh my goodness.
6 months. So
Yep.
that's putting questions to the AI and giving it corrections and training it with all of these sort of additional responses. And it took 6 months. Now, that was a focused training of an AI. The AI systems that you get access to free online at the moment are not trained.
Exactly.
And even if you have done training in how to ask really good questions of the AI, what it produces at the moment is still largely US based and US informed. I have seen people generate documents to use through AI, and we always have to correct them. The way I've seen it work well with one of our clients is because she's using AI, she's thinking more about the way her business works and the legal implications on her business. So we have more informed conversations. But fortunately, what she does is AI has recommended this. What do you think? And she sends that to me, and I go, okay. And we tweak everything. So because it's US based and because the frame in which she's putting the questions is not 100% accurate, and because it's not necessarily Australian law compliant, so she'll send me some clauses that she'd like to put in her agreement, and I'll review them and amend them or rewrite them to fit the agreement as it stands. And that's working, but getting AI to create something holus bolus without getting it reviewed legally, you're putting your business at risk because you don't know whether what it's producing is actually any good for you or not. And if you ask it, it will tell you yes. So,
100%, and it's always going to agree with you for the most part.
well, and in the US recently, this has been happening. What's been happening in the US is some people pressed for time in legal matters have been submitting to the court lists of precedents. So, what that is in a court process, you have to give the court a list of the cases you're going to refer to in your arguments. What they've discovered is AI is making these cases up. And one lawyer was challenged on, did you check that these were real cases? And they asked him how he checked. And he said, well, I asked the AI, and the AI said they were real. It blows my mind that as a lawyer, you would do that. That terrifies me because you've always got to verify. I had people at the conference I was at recently saying to me, oh, there was this case and such happened. So I went and researched the cases. It's rubbish. I don't know where they think that case has come from, but it's an urban myth. Whatever conversation that's come out of, it's not real. Because I went and read all of the, checked all the cases in the relevant jurisdictions, and it's not, whatever they've come up with is not real. And that's the problem, is that AI will tell you it's real and you don't know if it is or not.
I'm very big about like use AI how you can, but your ethics, in my opinion, your values, your morals, and all that still need to come into play. But
Yeah.
I always err on my, I'm probably more conservative. When in doubt, lawyer up is what I say, because
Absolutely.
it's like I would rather spend a little bit of money and have something looked at than, do you know what I mean, spend it or lose my business. So it's so important for that to happen. But yet again, people are choosing not to do it because I understand money. And so let's talk about money when it comes to legals, actually, because I think there's this notion about like, I'm going to have to spend tens of thousands of dollars on legals, which simply isn't true. You're still going to have to put money in 100%, but I've never spent $10,000 in one hit with you ever. That's where I think too, if you've got to pay $1,000, $1,500 or $2,000 to get a custom, whatever legal contract template drawn up versus can you give me an example of someone where they didn't have a contract drawn up that would have just been, say, let's say $1,500 on average? I know each business is different, but let's just say hypothetically, where they then end up in court, and what could that look like? What could that look like?
So we've seen that recently. There was a business breakup and there was nothing documented, and it ended up costing the client $130,000.
Oh,
and that is in payout to the other side and legal fees as well. Mm-hmm. And if we'd had the opportunity to document that particular relationship, would have been about $3,500. Mm-hmm. It was a 4-year relationship. Mm-hmm. So it would have been maybe $3,000, $2,500, $3,000 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then it would have put in place a process whereby everything would have been clear and it would have been set out. And instead of having to pay out 130 to avoid going through a whole 5 years worth of legal proceedings, it would have been able to be resolved for $50,000.
Yeah.
Because that was the intention of the parties to start with. But it ended up being such a bun fight and such a push back and forward. That's where it came to. And it's like,
and it didn't have to get there.
Even like we had a client in an employment relationship recently, and they thought they'd done the right thing, and they'd got something generated by AI, and they used that and they used it incorrectly, and they thought they were settling a relationship with a former employee for $15,000. And a week later, because they hadn't got the right document and they hadn't used it correctly, they got a letter from that former employee's lawyer saying, you need to pay us another 20.
Oh, man.
And they did, because they did it all wrong. And if they had done it right in the first place, they could have saved the 15.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my. These are just examples again. But also, I will also share like just two simple examples of when I had my terms and conditions and things in play correctly, that my one-on-one contracts, for example, I had a particular client that had come to me. She is like, I want to work with you one-on-one. I said, yep, absolutely. She did like, she wanted to check with a couple of people that have worked with me. So she was kind of a little bit on the fence. And I said to her, just a reminder that when this contract is signed, like I'm very strict about women following through with contracts, because energetically like attracts like, but also as a business consultant, I like to role model that it is safe and okay to put contract, like you stick to your contracts.
Absolutely.
And anyways, we got to month two and this woman was like, you know what? I'm not really feeling, and we've run in the same circle. We had been on each other's podcast, you know what I mean? And she's like, you know what? I don't really feel like I need coaching anymore. So since we know each other and since we run in the same circles, like you can just end my contract. And the part of me that was like, oh my God, we do know a lot of people. What will they say? And I was like, no, my contract states this. And then this particular person went into PayPal and canceled like her next payment. And so I said to her, I said, I just want to confirm that you have, do you know what I mean, canceled payment and that you won't be fulfilling contract. She said, yes. She said, but because we know people, like you're probably cool with it. And I said, well, I'm not cool with it. And I'll hand this over to my legal team, which then I did. I handed it over to you because I was like, I don't care who or what, whatever, you can't try to manipulate me when a contract was in place. And I was very open about what was included. You spoke to all these people, et cetera. And your advice was, Ange, just let it go. And I was like, I normally would agree with you on this, Jeanette, but there was something deeply in my gut that I was like, it's not okay for other women in business. And that's who I advocate for, to take advantage of other people and manipulate. Yeah. But there was also a contract in place. And though it didn't go to court, it just went between you and the other lawyer, I still won, right?
Yes,
and so the thing absolutely. Was, and by the time I paid fees and stuff, it was more like I probably broke even. But there was a point I wanted to make for myself as a woman, but also to role model to my daughter, that is safe for us as women in business to follow through on those contracts when needed. But if I didn't have that contract in place, I would have just been like, I would have had to have let her out of that contract.
Yes, you would.
And as a business owner, the thing is she was a one-on-one one-on-one client, and I only have limited spots with one-on-one clients because they take up a lot of my, I hold a lot of emotional space and headspace for them. And there are normally wait lists, but because it was like a weird time of year with like end of year. And so again, her assumption was, well, you can just fill the spot. My thing was like, it wasn't about filling the spot because my spots are limited. Again, it goes back to I'm honoring myself and what was put in place. And that again, it's safe to stick up for myself. So for those of you listening out there, just also know that these contracts, you never know when you're going to have to fall back on it like I did. And another time, just briefly, because I do think the listeners always like to hear like what goes on behind the scenes, is a lady had bought a ticket to one of my retreats. She said she no longer could attend. She wanted a refund. I said, as per the terms and conditions that you had drawn up for us, the refund is not available, but she could sell her ticket onward and we would honor that. Yeah. She said, no, it's your responsibility. I said, no, it isn't. We went back and forth, but then she contacted one of my speakers and then it became a defamation case. And I said, you can't, but again, if I wouldn't have had my terms and conditions in place, A, to honor what I was saying to her was accurate and legal. And then she went and did that. Again, it could have been a really bad scenario. Now, with that also didn't end in court, that ended outside. And you said the same thing, Ange, just let it go. You're going to pay more with me having to do this. But it was the principle behind it is you can't just go bad mouthing people when it's not accurate. And that, again, the terms and conditions is what saved me. So I do encourage the listener out there that if you do not understand what you need, that you make it part of your 2025 goals to get your legal sorted, speak with Jeanette or whoever, do you mean whatever country you're in, like I said, used her for years. But if there was one legal document that you feel all business owners should have, what would that one, if someone had to be like, I've got none, but I can start with one, what would that be?
Protect the income. Yep. So whatever you do to earn income, have your terms and conditions around that done. Because that's the fundamental for moving your business forward. And that's your biggest area of risk. You really want to protect that income. So exactly what you're saying about your terms and conditions allow you to push back on people who are trying to take advantage of you. And it gives you confidence in doing business. And you then have the choice whether you take the action to enforce it. And if that means you break even, or you then have the option to decide whether or not to allow someone out of a contract. So it gives you the confidence to make the decisions for your business that you feel are right. And it protects the income for your business. But that always make money first. If you're not making money, you don't have a business. So make your money first, protect how you make your money. And what we say with people is as soon as you get to a position where you're making more money than you can afford to lose, that's when you start looking at really getting everything in order. And things can happen. They don't all have to happen at once. You can structure things so that you do it. I do one thing per quarter. Or I do one thing per month. You don't have to do everything at once, but protect your income.
Dude, I absolutely love that. And I think it's so important because if not, then why? We're going to end up back at the 9-to-5 job. And also, again, depending on if you're a sole trader, company, trust, whatever, potentially then it could also come back and people then you have to sell your house or your car or other assets. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And that you don't want to get into. But Jeanette, as always, I could spend hours hanging out with you and chatting with you. So for those amazing humans who have been listening to this podcast today and are like, yep, you both have convinced me that I probably need to do one thing and get started with my legals, where can these amazing humans find you?
So we have a really flash website. It's Onyx, O-N-Y-X dot legal, L-E-G-A-L.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Yep. Yeah. So head to try Onyx dot legal.
We try simple. And keep it really simple. Yep.
Yep. Fantastic. And I've got one final question before we wrap up, which is looking back on your business journey, what do you know now that you wish you knew when you first started out in business?
Probably cash flow. Mm-hmm. As a lawyer, we're not taught how to run a business. Mm. And that was one of the, after I had employed, when I first employed someone and I had a new employee and it was coming to, it must have been when tax was due and my insurance, professional indemnity insurance was due. And I just paid everything. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think about what was coming up sort of the next month.
Yeah.
And I got the bank account down to 40 cents.
Oh, yep.
And I'm thinking, oh my God, I hope these clients pay on time because otherwise I can't pay wages for my employee next week.
Right.
And it was just, it was definitely one of those change moments. And now we definitely keep an eye on cash flow.
Yeah, 100%.
But I think that was a very big learning for me, where, particularly when you employ people and you have them relying on you for them to have their take home pay.
100%.
It's just, wow. Okay. Yeah. That was a very big learning curve for me. That
yeah.
One.
And cash flow, it's so important, and some do it better than others.
Yep.
But yes. And I think we've all had those moments where you're like, I hope this, if I tap this credit card, I hope it's going to go through moments, you know what I mean? At some stage when we're starting. And I do think that there's a notion that yes, get ahead of it, be aware of it, but also normalizing that, like, when you're just starting out and cash flow isn't great, that yeah, we all do have these moments.
Absolutely.
It gets better once we get consistent and we get more clients and we get our systems and our legals and all that in place. But if
yeah,
you're listening and you're going, oh, relatable. Yeah, we all can relate at some stage, hoping that it was going to go through. This has been absolutely amazing. Amazing as always, Jeanette. Thank you so much for your wisdom and just your generosity with your knowledge. And I continue to, you know, look forward to working with you as my lawyer. And if you do need anything, I highly recommend having a chat with Jeanette. So thanks again, my friend.
Thank you, Angela. Pleasure as always.
Thanks for listening to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, www.angelahenderson.com.au.